So it seemed apropos to me as we took some time today to give Bibles to our third graders as we baptized Finn, as our preschool is in their second week, heading into their third week, right, of school, and many of our children are in school and moving along and doing well, that it'd be good to talk about kids for a little bit. So if you are a kid in our midst, pay attention to something else real fast. No, I don't think I'll say anything that you should be offended by. Thursday of this last week, our presbytery gathered. We had a presbytery gathering, and as part of the presbytery gathering, after the lunch hour, we were divided up into our ministry groups. Within our presbytery, the ministry groups are geographical groupings of churches, churches that are close to one another. And we've been pulled together into ministry groups with the hopes that those churches will find common ministries to do with one another, to be connected in ministry. We're part of a group of churches that's kind of on the western side, not the far west of the presbytery. They're a different group, but the western side of kind of Baltimore and further south. We call ourselves the West Side Story Ministry Group. So we're part of that ministry group. And for an hour or so after worship on Thursday, we met as the West Side Story Ministry Group, as the other ministry groups met as well. And towards the end of our time together, after sharing a bit about what we've already done, what's on the horizon for our group, we were asked, as representatives of our congregations, to share with the other representatives of the congregations what's going on in the life of our congregations, what we think would be important for someone who may not know much about our churches to know about who we are and what we do. Now, Bill Gretsch was there as well, and we were asked for just one person. We only had so much time for just one person from each church to share. So I started thinking about so many different things that we could share in the moment about what's going on at Christ Memorial, what is our identity, what it is that we focus on, what's our priority as a congregation. And thankfully, because I really hate to talk in front of groups, Bill spoke up. So I didn't have to answer, but Bill answered for us, did a wonderful job of sharing, and what Bill shared with them, interestingly enough, was exactly what I was preparing to share with the group as well, which is that at Christ Memorial, among all of the things that we do and do well, what is a great focus for us in ministry is our children. Bill talked specifically about our Logos program, our intergenerational programs. I added a bit about our preschool, about our Sunday morning activities, the things that we do for the children in our midst. This is a place where we want for, and I think we've done a pretty good job over the last few years, and hopefully we'll continue to do well into the future, of being a place that is welcoming to children. And I think we do that because we have that example in none other than Jesus Christ. In this scripture passage we have for today from Mark that Carrie just read, that Alan talked so well about with the moment with children, that encounter is recorded in three of the four Gospels, in the three what we call synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's almost recorded verbatim in each of them. So there are a lot that those Gospels have in common, but they often, each author will add a little bit of his own take on a different story. This story, even as short as it is, not much is added between Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where Jesus is gathered. It takes place at different times in his ministry, dependent on whose gospel you're reading, but it's in the same context. Jesus is teaching a group of people, we can assume mostly adults, but enough word has spread at this point that people are coming to hear what Jesus has to say, and they're coming because they have the sense that if they're at least in his presence, and even more so, if they can have him touch them or give a specific blessing to them, then they may very well be healed of some disease or ailment that they have. They might be able to avoid that in the future. And so the crowds have gathered around Jesus, and as Alan described, as you heard read, the parents of children started to bring their children forward. We can imagine, just like the adults, that some of these children may have been sick, they may have been hurt, and their parents were looking for them to be healed. Some of them may have been perfectly fine, but the parents thought this could be a way to prevent something from happening in the future. So they brought their children to Jesus, and what they wanted was a blessing. But as you've heard me explain before, or you've heard probably explained in other contexts, the cultural take on children in those days in that place was very different than the cultural take that we have on children. They were often, not always, but often seen more as a nuisance than as something to be treasured. And so the disciples who were intent on keeping the crowd away from Jesus, allowing him to say what he needed to say, do what he needed to do, started pushing the children away and telling the parents, get them out of here. He's got more important things to do. And as you heard Alan explain, what's so fascinating in this story is that Jesus doesn't just tell them to let them come. It says in Mark's gospel, Jesus was indignant at his disciples that they were keeping the children away. He was mad that they weren't letting the children come to him. And he said, no, let them come to me. And then he said some really remarkable things that we, again, in 21st century America, can nod our head along with. We treasure the children in our midst. In that time, considering their take on children, would have been received a lot differently than we receive it today. He said to them that the kingdom of God belongs to little children such as these. That's a pretty remarkable thing to say to people who have come to hear about what the kingdom of God is and how they can get into it. But then he says something really remarkable. He says, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you will never enter it. Now, myself and other ministers, when we've preached on this text, have focused oftentimes on the characteristics of children that we often think that Jesus is kind of getting at. There's another account in Matthew's gospel where Jesus specifically takes a child out of a group of people and puts that child on his knee and uses the child as an object lesson. He's wanting to make a point. And in that, he says pretty similar things to what we've heard him say in Mark today, what happens elsewhere in Matthew, what happens in Luke. But one of the things he adds is he says, unless you humble yourself like one of these children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. So ministers like myself often will zoom in on the humility of children. The fact that they are so, especially little children, so dependent on others, and how important it is for us to recognize our interdependence on one another and our dependence of God. We're not going to talk about that today. One of the other things I've actually pointed out in the past, too, is, you know, other characteristics of children that maybe Jesus is getting at. Maybe he's talking about their sense of wonder and how it would be good for us to recapture our own sense of wonder. Or their candor and how they'll sometimes say things that maybe they shouldn't say, but it's what's on their mind. They're telling it like it is, and how sometimes in the life of the church, maybe that's not a bad thing. To be able to tell something like it is to one another in this context, maybe not such a bad thing. I don't want to focus today on the characteristics of children so much as I want to zoom in on what Jesus says in the second sentence when he speaks to the people. And he says, unless you receive the kingdom of God like one of these children, you will never enter it. That's what caught my eye and my mind as I was reflecting on this text for this week. And so I started to think about, well, how would children receive the kingdom of God? How would they receive anything? And because I'm a well-trained Presbyterian minister, I have 3 points I'd like to make to you. 3 ways that children receive things that I think we can learn from. First and foremost, when children receive something, and often we think in terms of gifts, when they receive a gift, they get really excited about that gift, right? And almost lose themselves in the moment. My youngest daughter, Natalie, is a perfect example of this. We just celebrated her birthday in August. She had some friends over. We were opening presents. And of course, it was so exciting to see all the presents at first, but as soon as she opened one, it was the most exciting thing that's ever happened in her life in that moment. And before she even started touching the other presents, the question is, Dad, can you open this? Can you get the... It's like, well, let's keep going on the presents here, all right? Let's sort of... They get so excited when they receive something new. And that excitement builds as she continued to open presents, those sorts of things. I have a sense that that might be a little bit true with our third graders today. There's a new Bible in their hands. Nothing better than them sitting in the midst of worship, distracted by a Bible. So if they're just reading through that, don't tell them what's happening right now. Just let them continue to look at their Bibles. When kids get something new, it's the most exciting thing to them. The other thing that's true, second, that happens with kids when they receive something new, is they go all in on that new thing and experiencing it in particular, right? So when they receive something, have you ever seen a kid get a new toy and the first thing they do is pull out the instruction manual and make sure they understand exactly what's going on? I've never seen that. I've seen very few adults who do that too. But in particular, you don't see kids pulling out the instruction manual. Put it in my hands. Let me experience this thing. Let me play with it. Let me smell it. Let me taste it, maybe, depending on how old they are, right? Let me use all of my senses to get a sense of what this new thing is. I want to use it in ways it's supposed to be used, and I want to use it, most importantly, in ways it's not supposed to be used, right? I want to get all in on this, and I want to experience this new experience in its entirety. Point three, the other thing that often happens when kids receive something new is they forget about what they had before, right? It takes place of what they had. I think in particular of a significant part of the plot line of the story, the movie Toy Story, right? You know that movie where Andy, the little boy, right? What's his favorite toy as he's grown up? It's Woody. Right? It's the cowboy, right, that says funny things when you pull on a string, right? It's the cowboy. He loves the cowboy. But part of the story is Andy has a birthday, and there's a birthday party, and he gets new presents. And what comes along in the new presents? Buzz Lightyear. And what happens to Woody? Woody starts to sense he's not as important anymore. He's being forgotten. Now, of course, you can't leave it like that with kids. So eventually, Andy comes back around to playing with both Woody and with Buzz. But as kids and as adults, we do that. We get something new, and we often forget about the thing that we had before, right? It takes so much of our attention, so much of our energy, that we leave the old behind, and it's all about the new. So when kids receive things, they are so excited to receive something new. When kids receive something, they want to get into it fully, experience it with every sense they have. And when kids get something new, often they forget about the thing that was there before. So the question I think that's before us today is, when was the last time you received the kingdom of God like a child? When was the last time that you received the good news of the gospel with such excitement? When you could hardly stand the excitement of learning about who Jesus is and what Jesus does. When was the last time that you couldn't help yourself but go tell other people about this wonderful news you heard about Jesus Christ, about what he has done for you in your life and what he has done in the world? When was the last time you received the kingdom of God with that kind of excitement that a child receives a new gift? And when was the last time that you received the kingdom of God, that you received the good news of the gospel with everything that you are? Not just your mind. We Presbyterians, we love our minds, and that's a good thing. But what kid looks at something and just tries to figure it out with their mind? Who receives a gift and just lets it sit there and try to figure out how does that work, but never touches it? When was the last time you received the kingdom of God to the point where you got your hands dirty? Or you lost your breath because you were so into it. Or you used every single one of your senses to try to determine what it is that God is doing in your life and in this world around you. When was the last time you received the kingdom of God as a child in that way? And when was the last time you received the kingdom of God, the good news of the gospel, to the point where you forgot about everything else? All of the things that the world has given to you or that you have earned in the world, that you set it aside and you said, you know what's most precious to me right now? Nothing is more precious to me than the kingdom of God right now in my life and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When was the last time you received the kingdom of God in that way that you were so excited? You couldn't help but get into it with everything you are. That you put everything else aside to chase after that good news of the gospel and to make sure that you knew it and that the people you know and love know it as well. When was the last time? Now, we often think in our context, and it's true, that we have a lot to teach our children. There is a lot that they need to be taught. There's a lot that people taught us when we were kids that we needed them to teach us. But let us not forget that is not just a one-way street. According to Jesus, our kids have a lot to teach us. And the fact of the matter is, if we take what Jesus says seriously, we're not going to enter the kingdom of God unless we begin to receive it as a child would receive it. That's the good news of the gospel for us this day. so as the children are around you, as you see them in your midst here in particular, as we gather for worship and as we gather for education, as we gather for service, keep your eyes open to the ways in which you can see the children in our midst receiving the kingdom of God. And don't stop them. Follow them. Follow them so that you too may receive the kingdom of God as a child would. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.